Charles Fishman is a former reporter for the Washington Post, Orlando Sentinel, and Raleigh, North Carolina's News and Observer. For years, he has written about important water issues. He's the author of the book, The Big Thirst, The Secret Life and Turbulent Future of Water. Since its publication, the U.S. has undergone multiple major droughts and drinking water crises in places like Toledo, Ohio, and Flint. Charles Fishman recently checked in with WKAR's Dr. Kirk Heinze. Fishman's been a guest on Heinze's MSU Today segment, The Greening of the Great Lakes, before.
It's been kind of a wild 4 years since I was last on in the world of water.
Well, Charles, when you wrote the book, The Big Thirst, you knew water was going to be a huge issue, was and would be. Did you have any idea, though, about how big this has gotten?
Since the book came out, California has been in drought the entire time. And that's kind of extraordinary, the longest, deepest drought in settled history in California. And, of course, we've got, for three of those 4 years, Texas was in drought. Those two states alone produce, you know, most of the agricultural products in the country. And Toledo, a couple of years ago, having to turn its water supply from the Great Lakes off because it was contaminated with toxins. And, of course, now we've got a terrible man-made disaster in Flint that's related to the water system. There's been a whole series of lessons that we've had in the last 4 years about the need to take our water system seriously.
Well, yeah, and let's take the one that's most in the news around here, and you mentioned it, this crisis in Flint with the lead contamination of the drinking water. There's a lot of finger-pointing and a lot of politicizing of this event, but Charles, based on your knowledge of water and water resource management, what are the lessons that we can learn from this debacle in Flint?
The first thing to say about Flint is this was a disaster, literally the water supply for a city of 100,000 people that was poisoned, that was completely avoidable. There was nothing inevitable about this. In fact, officials in the city of Flint's water system and in the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality knew well what to do, even if you wanted to switch from Detroit water, which was safe and in good shape, to Flint River water. There were things you needed to do, and the work had been done in advance of the switch. And so the fact that that water ended up corrosive and contaminated was literally a failure of water system officials and people whose job it was to protect the water system and protect the public. And so that lesson one is you need to take your responsibilities seriously. And we need to hold people accountable for their responsibilities. As an aside, in the world of water, this isn't very common. In fact, water people are very quiet. They're typically behind the scenes. But almost without exception, water systems are very well run in the country. They don't get much credit for being well run. And that makes what happened in Flint all the more important to understand. The second thing is, all the problems could have been avoided in Flint, even with switching to the less appealing water, if the water system had added anti-corrosive agents, literally just phosphorus, the kind of stuff that's used in all kinds of chemical applications, including fertilizer. That's an anti-corrosive that's added to the water supply in hundreds of cities in the United States, thousands of cities worldwide, totally standard. Here's what it would have cost in Flint, $64 a day. And they knew. They had documents telling them to add that. And then the water would not have become corrosive. But the most important lesson from Flint is the water system across the country is not in great shape. It's D-minus, according to the American Society of Civil Engineering. That's the grade our water system nationwide gets, D-minus. Now, you may grump about your 4 LTE cell phone service, but no one's given it a D-minus. And so water systems need some attention. often it's nothing more than the equivalent of $80 a day, but we grump and grouse about our water bills increasing. But the truth is most of us are living on water systems that were installed 50 or 80 or 100 years ago. And that engineering was brilliant, but it's 50 or 80 or 100 years old. And that is absolutely the case in Flint.
Yeah, you anticipated what I was thinking. In terms of that D-minus grade, how much of that is related to the aging infrastructure? Because you mentioned earlier that people do a pretty good job behind the scenes of making sure that our water is safe to drink. But, boy, cities like Flint, the infrastructure is so old. I mean, that really conduced to the problem as much as anything.
It certainly made the problem worse. The D-minus is almost exclusively, in fact, about age. Water systems don't need some kind of brilliant Manhattan Project. It's not the race to the moon. It's not even Silicon Valley. They need to be well-maintained. They need to be well taken care of. Look, the pipe replacement rate, the water main replacement rate in the United States is pathetic. In Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, where I live, the water utility is on a 150-year water pipe replacement cycle. So there are literally pipes in the ground that are 50 or 60 years old that may be in the ground until 2105. It's just ridiculous that we have cities in America where the water pipe replacement cycle is 150 years. The pipes aren't designed to last that long. So that's we wouldn't drink out of a mug that was 150 years old. We wouldn't want to use a toilet or a water spigot that was 150 years old. We're not using telephones, in case anybody's noticed, that are 150 years old. And so the water infrastructure needs the kind of attention that in part it doesn't get because it works so well and because it's invisible. And that, you know, in Flint, there are many terrible ironies and little eddies in the Flint story that just make you shake your head. But one of them is that early on, residents complained about the quality of the water. It was muddy. It looked like badly made iced tea or badly made lemonade. And the water official said, well, there are no federal standards for the appearance of drinking water. We promise you it's safe. Here's a clue, ladies and gentlemen, which the residents of Flint don't need to be told. If your tap water looks like badly made iced tea, there's something seriously wrong. It's not, even though there are no standards for clarity, that's not what U.S. tap water should look like.
Charles, we've got a couple minutes left here, but let's switch here from the United States. The last time we talked, you were living in Mexico City. You had some challenges there. I've traveled to countries like Nepal and other third world countries where the water situation, frankly, is rather abominable. How does the progress we make in a country or in the developing world, how does that translate into progress in the developed world, translate into progress in the developing countries?
You know, we lived in Mexico City for 2 years, and no one in Mexico City drinks the tap water. Mexico City is a city of 21 million people, so there's more people in Mexico City than in the entire state of Michigan. In fact, there's twice as many people in Mexico City as in the entire state of Michigan. No one drinks the tap water, not people who are well off, and even the poorest people can afford bottled water and give bottled water to their children. So there's a great municipal water system, and everybody actually has access to tap water, and no one uses the tap water because the sewage pipes and the water supply pipes run right near each other, they're poorly maintained, and the sewer pipes leak into the water supply pipes. And so the clean water leaves the water treatment plants in Mexico City clean, and between the plant and your home or your business or your restaurant, the water gets contaminated by leaky sewage pipes. So you have this vast city, literally twice as many people as all of Michigan, and every day, all day long, there are men out on the streets moving water in bottles. The big 5-gallon bottles, you know, the old Culligan man bottles, little water bottles, enormous human effort to bridge a system that isn't working right. That's what happens when you don't take care of your water system. Now, actually, So we actually lived for 2 years without being able to brush our teeth with tap water. There was a pitcher of clean water in every bathroom that we refilled, you know, twice a day. You couldn't wash your strawberries or your cucumber or your lettuce in the tap water. You had to wash it in bottled water, and you actually had to soak it in anti-contamination and sterilization stuff. But again, you have to take care of the system you've got, and that may not seem like the sexiest thing in the world until you see what happens, you know, when you don't take care of it, and until you see grown men who spend their whole careers moving water around, which seems like, you know, it's essential, but it's also a tremendous waste of human effort and creativity.